The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound. Like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Normally we do a mega playoff podcast for every round, but it's a little screwed up this week because Monday's a holiday. Tuesday's the first full work day, so we're going to split this up. Part two tomorrow, we're going to have a whole bunch of characters on to break down round one of the NFL playoffs. Today, as always, recapping a traumatic Cowboys loss, as well as looking forward to next week's Lions. I feel like I could just CGI this intro, or just re-record the same one over and over again. I guess we wouldn't have to CGI it, but Cousin Sal, how are you?
Yeah, you couldn't have me on tomorrow, and Lombardi, and the rest of them today. Has to work.
America likes to feel your pain. America likes to feel your pain the day after. You were confident at my house yesterday. There seemed to be indication that Romo's hand wasn't as bad as people might have thought, and you had a good game plan, and it's tough to beat the same team twice in the division if the talent's equal. You seemed a little confident yesterday, I felt like.
I the confidence built as the week went on. Like in the beginning of the week, I was like, "Oh, we're gonna lose this game only because there's no way we could win. We'll be up 14, we'll be up 17, we'll blow it." Like I've seen it too many times this year and over the last 15 years or however long they've been terrible. But and then you see Romo's hand, and it just looks like a meatloaf that like a 3-year old meatloaf, and I'm like, "Oh my God, what's going on here?"
Yeah.
And then it's just, they fall apart, and it's just, you know, as a fan, it's terrible when you're screaming about something for weeks and the coaches can't see it. I mean, Terrence Newman played about the worst first half as I've ever seen, like getting leapfrogged and can't cover and can't tackle and just awful, awful play, and they know it, and they can't do anything about it. I mean, he and Alan Ball are like, they're like the funniest duo in sports. They really are. Like, forget about Barkley and Jack, these guys, it makes them look like grief counselors. These guys, they don't know what they're doing.
Both of them would start for the Patriots, just for the record.
Yeah, but even the Patriots, like I was thinking about it, like, all right, they're notorious for having a bad secondary and they give up a lot of yards. They play so much tougher than the Cowboys. I mean, we're so soft out there, and our football IQ is dismal. I can't take it. And, you know, I'm not stupid. I know we're going to lose to New Orleans or Green Bay, and we're not winning the Super Bowl, but by far this was the easiest year to win the NFC East, and we blew it. We lost four to the Eagles and Giants.
Well, when you look back, though, you mentioned this yesterday. I didn't even know. You lost four Sunday night games, which...
Yeah, I think we've lost six in a row, but four this year. Yeah.
Four is a record that I don't think will ever be broken, just because I don't think anybody will ever play five times on Sunday night. So to lose four on Sunday night was pretty good.
We are the worst thing on NBC, and that's saying a lot. I mean, we make the marriage ref look like a hit. I don't know what to say. It's just awful.
You know, I was looking at it all week with the Giants, and even though it looked kind of obvious, I ended up taking the Giants because it just seemed like the Cowboys hadn't beaten anybody since that Niners game in week two. It was just every win was a below 500 team. They hadn't really done it once against even a decent team since mid-September.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they just obviously weren't good because they finished 8-8 and they didn't beat anybody.
And I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, all this aside, all this said, and we're terrible, we're soft, whatever, everything I just said. I'm at the game 3 weeks ago. If we hold on to a 12-point lead with 5 minutes left, we win the division against the Giants. If we hold on to a 21-point lead against the Lions, we make the wild card. It's just, these are miserable, miserable losses.
You didn't ice your own kicker?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't write the script any better.
No. So let's flip to the Giants for a second. I know you hate them with about as much passion as anybody could hate anything.
They're number one for me, yeah.
Are they peaking?
Well, here's the thing. I think, and you know, you saw them beat you in the Super Bowl, and you know, I only went crazy. I had the kids leave the room twice yesterday. When Newman on third and ten from the Giants' own five, he gets leapfrogged by the tight end the first time. I went nuts. Both defensive plays. And the second time was, and it must have been reminiscent for you, with Eli spinning away from pressure, chucking it up in the middle of the field, and it comes out. I can't believe it didn't stick to Victor Cruz's head, but that was it. And I'm thinking, like, they're a lucky team, and they've got two of the breakout playmakers of the year in Victor Cruz and Jean-Pierre Paul. Like, how does this happen with this team? I don't know if they're peaking, but I was going to ask you, how many teams playing this week do you think can win the Super Bowl? And I had it at two, and I'm going to add the Giants. They're a weird team. I had Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and the Giants could possibly be in the Super Bowl. Well, what do you think?
It comes down to what you can do well. And the Giants seem like they can do two things really well, because now that their front four is healthy, they can rush the passer, which is one of the reasons they won yesterday, and they can throw the ball, and they get a couple of big plays every game. So if you do those two things, you're at least hanging around. It's hard for me to believe this is a Super Bowl team, though.
I don't think so either.
They were 9-7.
I know. Oh, God. Well, that's the thing. Now, they play this week. They play at home. You think they're probably better than Atlanta, and we'll get to the game. But, you know, they played at home and got blown out by Washington. So which team really shows up, that team or the team that really beat the Packers on the field, a couple months ago?
I was thinking last night.
Yeah.
There were two third and two plays that flipped two playoff spots. The first one was in that first Dallas Giants game, and Romo had, I think, Miles Austin open. He overthrew him.
Yeah.
Game's over. If he connects it, you're in the playoffs.
Yep.
The second one was Oakland against Detroit. Mm-hmm. Palmer has Chaz Schilling on third and two, overthrows him. He's wide open. They're in the playoffs if he hits him there.
Yeah, it was the same exact play.
Same. I think it was even third and two for both, but
trying to hold a lead down a few minutes left. Yeah.
So, I think the Giants, they probably are one of the best 12 teams, if you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Denver is not one of the best 12 teams.
No.
And might be the worst playoff team. We piled on Seattle last year and talked about how bad they were and all that stuff. I think Denver, I feel worse about this Denver team going into round one than I did about Seattle last year.
And I love it because I was watching the games with you, and we see how terrible they are through 3.5 quarters, and you're still rooting for them. And I'm saying... I said, what is the point? Why do you want this team to make the playoffs? This is your fault that this is happening.
And we were talking about what is NBC has that night game, and they're going to pick the best matchup. And up until yesterday, it was pretty clear they would have wanted Tebow in that game. Right. But they were so bad in that game yesterday that there's just no way you can put that team in primetime because they might score 3 points. Tebow, 6-for-22 for 60 yards, 2 turnovers. Wasn't even. I mean, he's playing the Chiefs. It's not like he was going against the 85 Bears. They're at home.
I wonder though. Do you think they would have put him in prime time if they had won the game? Like if they had won 10-7, they still would have been. Even if they had just won the game, I think so too. It would have been.
They needed to get to 17 points, and they would have been in prime time. Yeah. You know, he was terrible in that game yesterday. I mean, he was the worst game he'd probably played since Detroit. His receivers aren't open though. It's really the perfect storm of a quarterback who's not accurate and receivers who can't get open anymore. I don't know what happened to that Eric Decker. I don't know if he's hurt.
Yeah.
But that guy hasn't been open in 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's true. They do show it. It does look like he needs a little more help out there, but,
anytime they show that wide angle of everything that's going on in the field, not only are the guys covered, but the defensive back is like right on top of them. He has no chance to throw to any of those guys. So, part of me wonders if the league just kind of figured out how to cover their offense, and that now there's McGahee obviously wore down a little bit. We knew that was going to happen because he's a little bit older. He hadn't had this many carries in a long time. But
I think they know he can't throw a good deep ball. He shot puts everything, and keep him in the pocket, and he's going to be flustered. But I have people coming up to me and saying, "Hey, what's going on with Tebow? What's wrong with him?" I'm like, nothing's wrong with him. He sucks. He's always sucked. And I told you, this is like saying, hey, why aren't Cabbage Patch Kids worth anything anymore? Because they shouldn't have been anything in the first place. Cross-eyed dolls. Shouldn't be selling them at a premium. This is stupid. But
I would have felt like they had maybe a chance against Baltimore. Because I still think the Ravens, I don't believe in that team at all. And I think on the road, we'll never have to find out now until the AFC finals, because they're going to play at least their first game at home.
The Ravens are a flawed team, but Ray Rice breaking one or two runs is all they need. And a lot of times it's just one.
But I mean, we watched that game yesterday with Mike Lombardi and my friend Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't remember one play that Joe Flacco made in that game. I watched the whole game. I can't remember a single big throw that he made. They got a big lead early, and they were just able to kind of protect it without ever putting him in a position to make a play.
That's it.
And now they're going to get that two seed. We were talking about it yesterday. Like, you almost wanted the two seed more than the one seed here, because if Houston can somehow beat Cincinnati, then Baltimore plays Houston in round two. They have T.J. Yates coming to Baltimore. Like, that just could not be a better situation.
Right.
And then the Steelers have had the Pats number this year. They killed them in that game. It wasn't even close.
Well, I was going to ask you, as a Patriots fan, like, of course you don't want the Steelers in your first game. That's what you don't want.
Want to play the Steelers. I was up for any sequence that ended with us not playing the Steelers.
Now, would you rather have Denver come to New England, or would you rather have Cincinnati come to New England? You've handled Denver. You'd rather have Denver.
Oh, God. Denver should not be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The other thing with Denver,
You're rooting for Houston and Denver.
Denver first, then Houston. I was talking about Buddy Gus, who's our Broncos expert in the Beers Report. He said that, Denver's defense just hasn't been the same since Von Miller hurt his hand. And you think, like, oh, well, you broke your thumb. Why is that? You're running around. Why does that affect how you can rush the passer? And I guess it actually does, because you have to use your hands to push the guy. You don't think of it that way, but every time you're using your hands, and he just has he can't even feel his hand. So their pass rush is out the window. Secondary is not that good. I don't even know what that team does well. I mean, the only reason they were in that game yesterday is just because the Chiefs have a terrible offense. But that's the team you want to play.
It's miserable. It really is lousy, because if they get down 7 to Pittsburgh, the game's over. 10-0, there's just no chance. He's got a 43 passer rating the last three games.
I want to apologize to everybody, because we're at like the 13-minute mark of this podcast, and we haven't talked about the chance that we have a chance to bet against Jake Delhomme this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mean coming up this weekend?
Yeah.
But I think Yates is saying he's playing now.
Jake's going to be involved. You can't tell me Jake's not going to be involved in this game somehow. I mean, I haven't decided who I'm picking yet, but even the 40% threat of Jake has me just leaning towards Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Just even the chance that he might come in. I just would rather lose with the Bengals than...
Well, should we start the line? Because that's the first game. Should we...
One last thing I'll say. Yeah. We were talking about whether the Pats would have been better off at the one or the two seed.
Yeah.
If this plays out correctly, my dad and I were talking about this last night. Mm-hmm. Since he can beat Houston and Pittsburgh's going to beat Denver, then this could lead to the two QBs that the Pats have to play are Andy Dalton in round two and then Joe Flacco in round three, potentially.
That's pretty good.
That's the best case scenario for this crap secondary we have. Worst case scenario is Roethlisberger. But, three of these four quarterbacks basically the quarterbacks that are in the AFC are Tebow, T.J. Yates, who's hurt with DeLone backing him up, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, who we all thought looked pretty lousy yesterday. I thought he had
– Yeah.
I didn't feel like the Ravens were really pressuring him. I just didn't think he played well.
I'm kind of sick of that team. They just should go away, Cincinnati. But, yeah.
And then Roethlisberger. So so this Patriots team that has this horrendous secondary, that if Steve Johnson didn't get benched yesterday, that game would have finished 49-42.
Right.
So they might just luck out and not see a good quarterback until the Super Bowl if they make it.
And are you worried about this recent trend of spotting teams 21 points in the last two games?
Of course!
But that said, I think the Ravens are really the only team you should be afraid of. Like, they'll get up on you and they'll they'll lock down, and they could maybe hold that lead. And maybe the Steelers, too, but I feel like they're really banged up. In 2 weeks,
yeah, you know,
now it'd be even worse. But
the thing with the Steelers, it does seem like they're just kind of snake bitten this year.
Yeah.
Just seeing every time that it seems like they're getting healthy or something good's about to happen, somebody else goes down. Now it seems like Mendenhall may have torn his ACL.
Mendenhall, and, Clark might be out. Like, it's rough. Like, yeah, all week everyone's talking about, should they play Roethlisberger? Should they play him? No, they shouldn't play him. No, take this week off, play next week. And you forget about Mendenhall. Now their running game is totally screwed, and they have the hobbled quarterback.
Yeah, I wrote this last week, or at least I talked about the scenario. Like we talked about it last week on the podcast. I would have benched everybody this week and made it the bye week, or the week 17.
I know you like.
I just would have assumed that we're, you know, if I'm the Steelers, I'm like, look, we're getting number 5. Let's use this as our bye week. Everybody rest this week. Let's play all backups.
Well, now it's played out. I mean, I guess you turn out to be right because they're just going to kill Denver. But how much more would, not that the Raiders are even a lot better, but how much better would that of game would that have been, Pittsburgh at Oakland?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday that the Raiders were the one team that probably could have hung. I mean, Carson Palmer is still Carson Palmer. He would have blown it in the fourth quarter, but at least they can do some stuff. It's really a good what-if season because I think if McFadden had never gotten hurt, the Raiders probably win 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
If the 2-3 and 2 plays in both conferences hadn't happened, those two playoff pictures are different. If the Saints, remember that Saints Packers game?
Oh yeah.
In week one.
First one. Yeah.
And the Saints had those two different drives inside the 10. They screwed both of them up. You know, they could be the one seed right now. Yeah. I mean, that seriously, look back and it's like those teams could easily be 14-2 and the Saints would have the tiebreaker.
It was a screwy year. And I think, I was talking to you, Lombardi, I think the AFC West was the screwiest division of all time. Like, you know, you could say something about the NFC West and they turned out to be okay. And that, the Chiefs had like 3 seasons in them, you know? They lost their first few, and then they came back, and then that was nothing. And now Denver with the Orton and Tebow, and the Raiders with their owner dying, and the Chargers, most talented in the division, and they fell short. It was ridiculous how nobody wanted to win this division.
We have to quickly mention the Jets.
Yeah.
The Sanchez performance yesterday. We didn't see – you were watching the early game somewhere else. We didn't watch that together. I don't think I've enjoyed – that might have been my favorite non-Tebow, non-Patriots moment of the entire season was Sanchez just completely disintegrating. I don't know how they bring him back. Antonio Holmes is going to get blamed.
And they would have made the playoffs, right?
That
game. It all shook out that they would have made the playoffs. I don't know what you do. I think you trade for the pick to get RG3 – I'd even take RG4 or RG1 over him. I don't know what to do with Mark Sanchez anymore. I mean, he looked that receiver down, interception number 3. He looked him down for a good 10 seconds and threw the ball. There's no way that wasn't getting picked.
Their offense was terrible.
I don't blame Holmes for quitting. I don't know.
You're on his side. I like that. You're on his side for that.
It's an embarrassment. It really is.
Yeah. Well, with Holmes, you know, I think the Jets – they took chances on a lot of these shaky character guys, and it worked last year, and eventually that comes to roost, or whatever that cliche is. But, it's hard to believe the Jets weren't better than the Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals were really your classic soft schedule. Were they 9-7 or 10-6? 9-7?
9-7.
Yeah, and I don't know if they beat anybody.
Like, I don't want to say Houston backed into the playoffs, but – they lost their last 2. The Bengals lost their last 1. Denver lost their last 3, right? I mean, those are 3 AFC teams. That's rough. Detroit lost their last 1. I don't remember so many teams, you know, trying to win and losing their last week and then playing the following week.
Well, we think Tennessee backing in was one of the – had they made it, that would have been one of the all-time worst back-ins. That was almost worse than if you had lost and gotten in. The fact
with the two-point – you're saying with the two-point conversion the way it was?
Houston says, we'd rather just settle this now than have to go to overtime and play our guys more. So we're going to go for the 2 here. They get a penalty now on the 7. So then we started arguing about how far back could they have gone before –
Two more holding calls are at the 37. Like, do they
still go for it? The Titans like, yeah, we won against this team that didn't care if they went to overtime. Yeah.
The Lone throws a 40-yard pass to complete the two-point conversion and win. Yeah.
Oh, we should mention that, too. We had this bet we've talked about on the podcast. Andre Johnson, 1.5 touchdowns over Ocho Cinco, which we parlayed with Ben Roethlisberger, 235 yards over Michael Vick. And Ocho catches one touchdown all year. Andre Johnson somehow only catches two, even though he's one of the best three receivers in the league. We're giving 1.5 touchdowns. Somehow Andre Johnson, he loses three quarterbacks and at different points of the season pulls his hamstring on both legs.
Yeah.
And we go into this last week. They say they're starting Andre Johnson. So, like, all right, we're still in this. Yates gets hurt in the first quarter. Now we have Jake Delhomme trying to win our bet, which is never going to end well. They're driving in this last thing. Delhomme throws the game-tying touchdown to Johnson. And the guy, touchdown in the end zone, Johnson! I'm jumping up and down thinking we won the bet, and it's another Johnson. It's Brian Johnson. And so not only did we lose the bet, but I thought we had won for a second.
That's how I know that someone's laughing at us, the gambling gods, because that is too cruel. I mean, that's really – that's Brian Johnson's. We have tickets to Thriller. Oh, these are to see Tito Jackson? Oh, I screwed up.
Best thing is they don't even put the B on his jersey. It's just two Johnsons. They don't even care. It's the 80 and 89, so it looks the 9 looks almost like the 0, and it's just Johnson on the back.
Yeah.
So that was great.
We had some bad bets this year. We really.
You want to do a quick recap?
We should sell these. I guess we can. Yeah. All right. Let's.
So we bet a lot of money on the Rams to win the NFC West, which I think was the worst bet I've ever done.
That was over week one, exactly like maybe halftime of week one. Yeah,
we had a division parlay bet with the Packers, Chargers, and Patriots.
I loved that one. I loved it.
And the Chargers,
it was actually just Packers and Chargers. Yeah.
Oh well, you know why we lost?
Why?
Because Phil Rivers fumbled that snap on Monday night.
Oh, you mean Phil Rivers, who we had 400, fake dollars each to win the MVP?
Yeah, 12-1. That Phil Rivers. Yeah, because he fumbled that snap. But if he had just taken the snap in and kneeled, we win that bet.
I know. Yep.
We also lost on Mike Wallace for most receiving yards.
Yep. And
we
Ben
lost.
Roethlisberger for most passing yards.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Andre Johnson bet. We lost last night Dallas to win the division at 3-1.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
We did win Pittsburgh over 10.5 wins, parlayed with Miami under 7.5 wins. So that was good. That was kind of easy, actually. We didn't even have to need week 17.
Barely won that. Then we won the Buffalo and Tennessee will not make the playoffs, but somebody else will bet.
Buffalo, Tennessee will not, and the Ravens will. Yes, we won that barely.
We won that, but we had to sweat it out for 7 straight hours, as it seemed like Tennessee might somehow get in because of that crap Jets team.
We were so confused with the playoff picture. I don't want to sell Lombardi, but he was even more confused when Cincinnati lost. He's like, oh, wait, Cincinnati's in?
Lombardi was getting the playoff scenarios from somebody at the NFL, and we were all still confused. We were like, so if Oakland and Denver still – it was so confusing. God forbid CBS ever helped us.
And then we had San Fran. We did win this one. San Fran to win their division. Well, I'm jinxing it because it hasn't been announced yet. Patriots to win their division, and Cam Newton for Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So that's a winner. Well, and our one outstanding, and I'm sorry, Steelers fans, Pittsburgh to win the Super Bowl.
12-1.
Yeah.
And I bet the Pats at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Super Bowl representative with one of those two bets, I think.
You should.
But I think the one thing we've learned is that not to bet those yardage prop bets.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Why do we do that? Like, Matthew Stafford threw for 5,000 yards this year. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to these passing yard bets. So let's stay away from those.
I did this yesterday. Matt Flynn or Sam Bradford touchdown passes? Who had more?
Oh, for the over? Yeah. There was a tie, right?
Matt Flynn or Castle?
He had more than Castle?
Castle, 8-6. Matt Flynn or Drew Brees? All right, forget it. You know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Imagine if we had done Gronkowski for most touchdowns. That would have been like nice. 100-1, right?
Yeah. That would have been nice.
I think Bill Barnwell had, I think he had the Bears under at 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished with 8, but he was probably able to go against it yesterday. But those under bets, as long as you're relatively within reason, you can still. Oh, we hit a 3-teamer yesterday. We should mention that too.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about it. We offered it, we should get more kudos. We offered it on the podcast last week. Falcons, yeah. There you go.
The Niners were up 34-13, took the game off all of my TVs, didn't think about it, and then they cut into it. It's like 34-27, the Rams are driving. It's like, what?
I don't know how this happened, but you texted me in the morning. You said, we effed up. Atlanta plays late, so they're going to know if Detroit, you know, if they win that, if they need that game at all.
Yeah.
And we figured Detroit would win. And I said, yes, we sure did. What are we going to do? We need to hedge here. And luckily, you called off the dogs. We didn't hedge.
Well, what happened was that Green Bay-Detroit game, I don't know what happened, but it was like a quarter behind the other games.
Yeah,
so
right.
So Atlanta started their game, and Green Bay-Detroit was like in the beginning of the fourth quarter. So Atlanta just poured it on and scored 21 right away.
You know what happened. There were 100 points and 1,500 yards passing.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But
anyway. All right, let's do it, man. Round 1. This is great. I do not know any of the lines. I have avoided any website. I haven't even looked at Twitter replies. I've avoided anything that would tell me what these lines are.
All right. Good for you. I did well on 2 of the 4 lines, and I think you could nail me on the other 2.
Okay.
Cincinnati at Houston. Saturday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Houston.
Yeah, this is, once again, the terrible early Saturday game. The tradition continues, right?
Yeah. Well, NBC is always first a terrible and last game. Choice, so that's how it is. So
it's always a terrible game.
Yeah.
Bill,
if they're playing this game in my backyard, I draw the blinds. I don't watch this game, Bill.
I wanted to say Texans by 3.5, but I don't even think it's just a classic Texans by 3.
All right, you nailed it. I said 4, and, you know, I just thought Andy Dalton, I thought that place was going to be rocking a little bit, but it is 3.
Well,
it's more against Cincinnati on the road a pick than it is Houston at home. But
I'm going to think about which side to take for the next 4 days. And
I know.
I'll post it in Friday's column, and whatever side I pick, I will not feel good about it.
Good luck going against Yates at home, or DeLome, whichever. Bring them both out.
DeLome's shadow just hangs over that game. I will say, though, I just said this earlier, but, man, Dalton was not good yesterday. He really wasn't. He wasn't good. The Ravens, it's not like Terrell Suggs was in his face for 4 quarters. He had time that whole game, and he just didn't make good throws. I didn't feel like.
I don't want to give him too much credit, but they got behind early, and I think the Ravens played defense accordingly, but they're bad. Yeah. This is a one and done, whoever wins this game, I think.
Yeah.
Detroit at New Orleans, Saturday night. So this is the game NBC picked after Tebow.
Yeah, we were doing Mike and the Mad Dog yesterday about who should it be, Tebow or Saints Lions in this game. I want Drew Brees. If I'm NBC, I want Drew Brees in this game. I want Drew Brees, okay?
Mike, they had the game already. They had it 4 weeks ago. They had Detroit and New Orleans. How many times are we going to see this? Let's play some defense.
It's good for Al Michaels. He likes New Orleans.
Yeah, he does.
This is good. He always has a little hop in his step for these Saints-Lions games.
I'm down on the Lions, though. Well, go ahead. What do you think? What do you think the spread is?
I had some trouble with this one, Sal. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
8.5. Saints by 8.5.
All right. So we're going to be even. I said 10. It's up to 10.5.
Whoa.
I think you have to do it, though. New Orleans, they're just, you got to get them off the turf. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to hang with them.
Whoa. So here's what I don't like about that line.
Yeah.
You could be up 17 with like 4 minutes left and still lose on the cheap late touchdown. That's that half point's a big one, man.
It's a lot. The spread's high. I mean, do we ever see double-digit spreads in these divisional, you know, wild card round games? I don't remember too many.
I'm pretty sure the Saints have covered like 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Is that possible? I think I've picked against the Saints the last 7 weeks, and each time they've lost. Somebody from New Orleans. I get these emails from readers who are like, what do you have against the Saints? Like, I don't have anything against any team. I'm just trying to make a good pick every week.
Yeah.
But
yeah, tell
apparently
them, you know what? Threaten to bet on them and then see if they'll back off.
Well,
bet and lose.
I think Matthew Stafford, the 3 minutes left celebration, like Sly Stallone after he finally beat Clubber Lang in Rocky III. With 3 minutes left when Matt Flynn was already over 400 yards, might have been a mistake.
That was really stupid.
Halfway
through that game, you have to forget about even winning or losing the game. You have to say, oh, my God, I'm terrified for this putrid defense to go to New Orleans or even the Giants, whatever, whoever it was going to be. Stafford can't even help himself here, I don't think.
I don't know what to make of that Lions team. The one thing is they can move the ball downfield in about three plays every single drive.
Definitely join a fantasy playoff league and take Calvin Johnson. You'll get a lot of garbage points.
Can I say one quick thing about Drew Brees, who's now got some MVP momentum? And, I still think Rodgers is the MVP, but I do think how well Matt Flynn played yesterday, at least, illustrated the fact that the Packers have a machine for an offense.
Right. You got to be pissed at him a little, Rodgers.
I really felt that way. I felt like it was a slam dunk MVP case, and now the door's been opened where if you're going to argue about valuable, you could say, if Matt Flynn played instead of Rodgers, what would the Packers' record have been? But if Chase Daniels had played instead of Drew Brees, what would the Saints' record have been? Mm-hmm. It's at least you can have an argument about it.
Right.
But I think I counted it yesterday. I think Brees played 11 games indoors this year.
Was it that many? Yeah.
He played 8 in New Orleans, obviously, and then 3 others on the road that were indoors. I think the only game, the only quote-unquote cold weather game he played this whole year was at Tennessee, which was like week 12 or week 13.
Right.
Rodgers, I think, played 2 or 3 games total indoors. Brady played 1.
Wow.
So when you think like Brady threw within 400 yards of Brees, but Brees played 10 more games indoors than Brady, like who had a better season?
That's a lot. That's one way to look at it, yeah. And now Brees is probably going to have to play 2 games outside. Might not be cold in San Francisco, but it'll be outdoors. And then at Green Bay, if everything goes right, the end of January.
Right.
It's interesting.
Brady had some really hard outdoor games this year. And it's just, I don't know.
I think if you're choosing between Brees, I know it's only based on the regular season, but they should make an exception this year. Wait for Brees, Rodgers, let it play out. And if they play on the road against each other, you know, and New Orleans plays on the road, let that one decide it.
And then the other thing, like, you look at, like, Eli. Eli's got 8 home games in that weird – there's always, like, weird wins going in Giants Stadium, and then he probably only played 2 or 3, too. He ended up at, like, almost 5,000 yards. He didn't have a running game.
Well,
like, he might have had – just looking at, like, what somebody did with what they had, he might have had the best season out of anybody.
Come on now. Let's move on from this. I can't do it. He throws 4-yard passes, and Victor Cruz runs for 150.
All right.
No, he's good and he's smart and he's lucky and God bless him.
All right. Let's go.
All right. Sunday. Well,
Sunday's
there we
games.
Are. Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., Atlanta at the Giants.
I don't believe in this Falcons team at all. I think they beat up on bad teams, and I think anytime they play somebody who's good, they fall apart or they're just not as good as they should be. With that said, this seems like another -3 to me. Giants by 3.
You got it, and I got it exactly. So we're 1-1-1 going into the last game.
It seemed like the Giants. You could talk me into that going to 3.5 by Sunday.
It could. I'm trying to look at what Atlanta, what was their best win this year. It really does seem like they're the bullies of the NFL. I'm trying to pull the schedule up. I don't know what they did.
What did they? They beat up on Tampa and Jacksonville these last 5 weeks, like big
yeah.
time.
Do you remember a good win from them?
No, I thought the best game they played the whole year. They lost. It was like 27-15. They lost to the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they played well in that game. It's just the Packers were better. But that yeah. I watched that game and I came away from that thinking that's as well as the Falcons can play, and they lost by 12 to a Packers team that didn't even really play that well. That's not
right.
a good sign for them.
I guess they beat the Lions 23-16 in late October. Yeah, they demolished.
Ooh, congratulations.
The Colts. They demolished the Colts. They lost to the Saints. They beat Tennessee. Oh yeah, they beat Tennessee. That was on the road, right?
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, they beat up the Vikings. These are bad. These are bad.
What games. Was the Packers? What was the Packers game? Yeah, 25-14.
It was a Sunday night. Yeah.
They had I think they were up 14-0 in that game,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't score like the last three quarters.
They lost by three to Atlanta. They beat a bad Eagles team, I think, early in the year. They got killed by the Bears. I don't know. This team's not. I don't love them.
They lost. The worst loss they had was at Houston.
Yeah, that was really
17-10, and it was against T.J. Yates.
Mm-hmm. But
also
all said and done, all they have to do is figure out what the Redskins did a few weeks ago when they went into New York, and Giants gave up first place, and then they'll have a win. They'll move on.
Seems like their receivers drop passes, too. I don't know. I haven't seen the stats on that. I might be wrong. Somebody could compile the stats and say they didn't drop as many as anybody else. But I always felt like watching their games, like Roddy White and Julio Jones, like half the time we'd have these touchdowns they didn't hold on to.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? You came over to my house. We watched them against Green Bay. I think we had them. It was a night game against Green Bay in the playoffs.
It was last year.
It was last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that team was highly touted. It seemed like their defense was much better that last year, right? And now it's just the same team and not as good a defense. I can't figure it out.
That's when we made a rule that we are not allowed to bet on the same playoff game and then watch it together.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good rule. All right. The last game, Pittsburgh at Denver.
Oh, my God.
You're going to beat me here. We're tied 1-1-1.
No Mendenhall for this, right?
No Mendenhall. Possibly Clark out. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, I hate this game. I'm going to say Steelers by 9.5.
Wow. Good for you. I said 6, and it is 9. So you win the week. And let me tell you something. We don't have to watch them together if you don't want. But Pittsburgh, New Orleans will lay a couple dollars to win one on a two-team money line parlay.
Maybe Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and New Orleans.
Yeah. And don't even worry about how much you lose, because that's not a factor. Just do it.
How many points does Denver score in that game? Do they get to 10?
It shouldn't be a lot. The only thing I'm worried about is that they're going to hear about how bad they are all week, and the defense does actually step up. But no, they can't win this game.
You're right. I mean, we say this every year, the nobody believes in us factor. This is an ultimate nobody believes in us game.
I was never more confident than this time last year talking to you about how much we're going to put on New Orleans over Seattle.
Yeah.
It sort of is the same situation. But
I need to see the whole injury list, because assuming Mendenhall is out, Isaac Redman is not good. I mean, he's like a poor man's Jackie Battle.
Right.
That's
but
not good for the Steelers.
But they're going to have to score a defensive touchdown, Denver, right? I mean, you need 20 to win this game, I think.
They could put Champ Bailey. Well, who did the covers? Antonio Brown. They had that. They only have one good D-back.
They're in a little bit of trouble. But look, Pittsburgh was given 7 to Cleveland yesterday. They're giving more in a playoff game on the road tomorrow. Sunday. Isn't that weird?
To just go back to that Pats game, 41-23. It really felt like the Pats could have put up 50.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think, as long as this line's under 14, I'm probably taking Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know. Well, I told you what we're doing. We don't even worry about the line. New Orleans, Pittsburgh, money line.
I like the Giants too.
Yeah.
I just think the Falcons are frauds. I really
did. They probably are.
I don't. And the worst thing about them is that for whatever reason, people do like them. So they can't even get the nobody believes in us thing going because people actually do think that they're kind of dangerous for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Giants have had the nobody believes in us thing going all month because they're quitting on the coach. Nobody, they suck. Everybody's hurt. And now it seems like they have a little bit of an identity.
Just giving it a quick glance, the four, I have a feeling I'm going to be looking for an underdog to pick, you know, when you pick these games.
Yeah.
So. Maybe it's Atlanta. I don't know which way to go. Can't go all four favorites.
It's probably the Bengals.
Oh. That'd be good for you.
You sure the Lions with that extra half point, that doesn't entice you?
You think that'll go up? Or? Well, it's all about how much they'll score. Like New Orleans, when they played that game a few Sundays ago, Sunday night, it just looked like they were going to score 60 points, New Orleans.
They should get to 40.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if the Saints and Giants can somehow play at some point because it'd be the first time that two coaches who have ever been bowled over on the sidelines have gone ahead.
Oh yeah.
we get that montage of just people plowing into those coaches.
That'd be good. Yeah.
The cousin. Happy New Year.
All right, buddy.
Sorry about the Cowboys.
Yeah. It's time to move on anyway. Christina Ricci. Reese, whatever, Jersey Shore crew is on tomorrow. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Tracy Morgan, and Don Cheadle, Boys to Men later in the week, and my Grantland blog on Thursday.
You forgot to plug The Bachelor. The Bachelor comes back tonight.
Oh, yeah, The Bachelor's back. Is that tonight?
It starts tonight. I think my wife is going to tweet during the episodes.
She is?
You can follow that at SportsGal33 on Twitter.
Wow, yeah.
She's all excited. She loves the... She loves Ben the Winemaker. She's very excited for this season.
Nice. Yeah. It's not Terrence Newman this year?
It's not Terrence Newman, no. They didn't pick him. They only go white with The Bachelor. They've never crossed that line. Your cousin Jimmy Kimmel has been pushing them to rethink that for the last 10 years. And they
Flavor of Love is a successful show. I don't know why.
I know.
Take a page out. So.
I don't know what they're thinking. The cousin. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Happy New Year.
All right. Take care. All right. So that is it for part one of the Mega Playoff Pod. Part two coming tomorrow. We're going to have a variety of special guests. I think you can guess a couple of the identities, but check it out tomorrow. iTunes, ESPN.com, PodCenter, Grantland.com. Enjoy the day.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.